Order the San Souci County Board of Supervisors meeting. Today is June 5th, 2012. Time is 9 o'clock a.m. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first thing on the agenda today is public comment period. If anybody has any item they'd like to address this board with that is not on today's agenda, now's the time to do so. Seeing no one, we'll move on to consent calendar. Any items that we'd like to pull? I'd like to pull item B2 for a future agenda. Any other items that anybody'd like to vote separately or speak on? Anybody in the audience wish to comment on any consent item, items marked with an asterisk on the agenda? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for action, less item B2.
Motion to approve, less item B2.
Have a motion?
Second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That item passes. Okay, our scheduled matter is 9:05, and so we'll go to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the California Water Board regarding a notice of petitions from the Department of Water Resources and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation for temporary change to transfer water for the use by the Central Valley Project.
Refer to Department of Public Works, Department of Environmental Resources, and Agricultural Commissioner until it awaits some measures.
This board has received a letter from the California Water Board regarding notice of petition from the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation for the change to transfer water from modifications on the San Joaquin River.
Refer to Department of Public Works, Department of Environmental Resources, and Agriculture Commissioner until it awaits some measures.
This board has received a letter from the California Natural Resources Agency regarding notice of petitions from the Department of Water Resources and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation for temporary transfer of water to facilitate exchanges of State Water Project and Central Valley Project south of the Delta.
Refer to Department of Public Works, Department of Environmental Resources, and Agricultural Commissioner until it awaits some measures.
This board has received from the California State Controller the Stanislaus County Audit Report from July 1, 2006 through June 30, 2009 regarding reimbursement claims for costs of the State Water Resources Control Board's local oversight program.
Refer to Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from the Oakdale Fire Protection District requesting dry period financing for anticipated revenue for fiscal year 2012-2013.
Refer to Auditor Controller.
This board has received a letter from the California Emergency Management Agency denying the county's request for Disaster Assistance Act funding for the damages sustained during the March 2011 storm event.
Refer to Agriculture Commissioner and Sealer Weights and Measures.
And the board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Seeing none, do we have Legislative Fiscal Management report?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Being that the time is now 9:05, we will move to the scheduled matter, public hearing. To consider adoption of the recommended proposed budget for budget year 2012-2013.
As staff are getting to the staff table, I'll go ahead and start. Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Doran. I'm Monica Nino, the county's chief executive officer. We are here today to present the Stanislaus County proposed budget for fiscal year 2012-2013. This proposed spending plan focuses on core and mandated services. This has been necessary so the community doesn't continue to see an erosion of critical programs and services. Even though operating costs continue to rise, this proposed spending plan maintains funding levels for the majority of general fund departments consistent with the current fiscal year. The ability for the organization to achieve this is through the reduction of labor costs. The organization's success with labor groups is critical to a sustainable financial strategy for now and in the future. The board's efforts in maintaining core services to the community has required the programming of over $50 million of one-time funding, We are asking you once again to use one-time funds to close the county's budget shortfall. Once we see the economy improve at a steady pace, we will start asking the board to reconsider some of the programs and services that were greatly reduced as a result of the local economy going down, along with building back the fund balance for future years. As an organization, it is necessary to recognize the benefits this community has received as a result of this organization remaining focused on spending only those resources in which we can afford. I thank this board for their leadership in this effort. Our county department heads and their staff have remained diligent in the ongoing challenges in meeting customer needs by remaining within their respective budget allocations and capitalizing on opportunities through partnerships, collaborations, and efficiencies. I am grateful and thankful for that. Thank you to the Chief Executive Office budget team for all your time, effort, and analysis on the proposed spending plan. You are the best. Patricia, Stan, and Christy will now present the proposed budget for fiscal year 2012-2013.
Thank you, Ms. Nina. Good morning, Chairman O'Brien and members of the board, Ms. Nina and Mr. Doering. My name is Stan Risen. I'm an Assistant Executive Officer in the Chief Executive Office, and joining me at the staff table this morning is Mrs. Patricia Hill-Thomas, Chief Operations Officer, and Christy Allman, who prepared our PowerPoint presentation this morning. As with Ms. Nina, I'd like to take a minute to acknowledge and thank the budget team who worked extremely hard in preparing the budget for your consideration. This was a particularly tough year where we were dealing not only being down resources, but supporting labor negotiations as well as a number of other issues. But the team stepped up, often working late in the evening and on weekends, and they're a remarkable team, and I want to thank them for their efforts. Also want to take a minute to acknowledge the department heads and budget managers. Their work lays the foundation for this budget document, and it really is a pleasure to work with such a great leadership team. The proposed budget that we're bringing to you this morning is an interim spending plan. It's designed to have a plan in place as the fiscal year begins, but we always wait to create the final spending plan as part of the final budget, which we'll be bringing back to you in September. The County Budget Act requires that this budget has to be balanced, and it has to be submitted and approved by your board by June 30th. As is customary, the last several years, we've organized the budget by your seven board priorities, and you'll see tabs for each of those priorities in the budget. Our total recommended proposed budget to you this year is just over $954 million. When I first saw that number, I kind of gulped because that's a 7% jump from where we were this time last year when we were presenting the adopted final budget. But as we dove into the budget, it became apparent that that high jump is primarily related to two major public works projects, the Kiernan 99 interchange project and the Claribel widening project. Those two projects amount to just over $48 million, and if you take those projects out, our budget is growing by 1.6%. Which is much more modest than the 7% that it appears on the surface. This chart kind of shows a comparison of our budget compared to prior years. When you adjust out the $48.5 million for the two road projects I just alluded to, it puts us about $905 million. You can see the previous 3 years we had been down, so it's encouraging that it appears that the decline that we've been facing over the past years at least has stabilized, and some very modest growth as we approach this year's budget. The general fund is a similar story. It had been down four straight years, over $42 million shy of where we were back in 2007-2008, but this year shows once again, a modest increase of $7 million over last year's general fund budget. And we will go into that detail as we go into our presentation this morning. This is the fourth year of a multi-year budget strategy that you had approved as a board. When we started way back in February, working on this year's budget, we started with about a $20.1 million gap. That is factoring in retirement increases and a number of other factors. And we issued the departments essentially the same general fund contribution that we gave them last year. And in doing so, we asked of that $20.1 million that departments absorb $5.5 million of it inside their budget. So while we didn't issue them reductions this year, the very fact that they had to absorb this $5 million was an impact to their ability to provide programs and services. That left $14.6 million for us to come up with in order to balance this budget. And we did that through a combination. You had previously approved the use of $9.2 million of TEETER reserves over 2 years. So this is the first year that we're using that $9.2 million. And then $5.4 million is what we're anticipated in savings, either through increased revenue or not spending everything in our current budget. For those members of the public not familiar with the TEETER reserves, these are funds that were generated from fines and penalties we received when property taxes were not paid during those heavy foreclosure years. We had set aside over $20 million of TEETER reserves, and so by using $9.2 million this year, $9.2 million again in 13-14, we will significantly dig into those TEETER reserves. Just shared with you that we issued the general fund departments the same contribution that they received from the general fund last year. The retirement, Stan Serra, for the last several years has been subsidizing our employer rates through the use of non-vested reserves. They've pretty well depleted those non-vested reserves, and so that subsidy is no longer available this year, returning retirement rates back to where they would have been all along. And that represented about a 25% jump. That's how much they have been subsidizing us. Also, some departments experienced some significant increases in general liability, which is primarily related to lawsuits and other things that they've experienced. But our departments, and we're very proud of them, they have been very good at slowing this spending train down and creating savings. And because they've been able to generate a fair amount of what we call net county cost carryover savings, those are savings that they've been able to generate in prior years, a lot of departments are planning on using that this coming 12-13 year, as well as setting some funds aside for 13-14. And that's essentially allowing them to continue to be able to provide the same level of services for the most part that they are providing in the current year. We do see some increases. As I shared with you earlier, our general fund is going up about $7 million. And some of the increases above current service levels are primarily in our public safety area and health and human services areas. In the public safety area, we are starting to see the effects of AB 109, public safety realignment. And we're able to, this year we received $6.6 million. CCP, which is the Community Corrections Partnership, will be putting the budget together and coming back to you sometime later this month to present their 12-13 proposed budget and their Phase 2 plan. But those are increasing resources in the area of a safe community. Also, the sheriff is planning on using some of the savings he judiciously created in prior years to reinstate the sheriff's team investigating narcotics and gangs. We call it STING for short. In addition, he's, and we'll go into that later, but has some other staffing recommendations as well. We are also including additional funding for mandated county match obligations, as well as some funding to begin addressing some critical capital facility needs. Once again, we've set aside $4.4 million in appropriation for contingencies budget to help us deal with emergencies and other anticipated costs that we may be faced during the year. And this budget also reflects continuation of the board's longstanding no backfill policy when it comes to state and federal grant funding. Even though it appears that we've bottomed out as an organization, we are far from being out of the woods. We can't stress enough that as an organization, we continue to have an imbalance between our operating revenues and our operating expenses. As a result, as I shared with you previously, we're relying on $14.6 million of one-time general funds to balance the general fund budget and $36 million of one-time funding to balance the entire budget. Obviously, the continued use of this level of one-time funding is not sustainable, and we will continue to work on employing strategies to bring operating expenses into line with operating revenues. Also, as I indicated earlier, this proposed budget is intended to serve as an interim spending plan. Now, there are a number of issues that need to play out before presenting to you a final spending plan, and those include addressing any impacts that may arise as a result of the state budget, or lack thereof, as well as where we're at with our labor negotiations. So let me speak briefly to our labor negotiations. While we did not ask departments to prepare reduction in force lists as part of their proposed budget submissions, we did ask them to share with us the financial impact to their department if agreements are not reached by June 30th of 2012. We also asked them to provide an estimate of the rough number of full-time equivalents that financial impact would translate to. As you can see on this slide, that number was $9.2 million for all funds with 124 full-time positions and $1.8 million for the general fund with 27 full-time position equivalents. While our intent is to address any reductions in force from the lack of labor agreements as part of the final budget, the reality is that a number of departments may not be able to wait that long, and we may be coming to you in separate agenda items throughout the summer to begin the reduction in force process. The county was fortunate to have 8 labor associations come to the table prior to the expiration of their contracts and agree to a 6% salary deduction with 6 furlough days effective July 1st of 2012. These early agreements have had a positive impact in preserving critical programs and services. The county is at various stages in the bargaining process with the remaining 4 groups, and we remain hopeful that we can reach agreement with those 4 groups as well. One of the areas we closely monitor is what we call discretionary revenue. As the name implies, these are revenues that you as a board have discretion over when it comes to how you choose to spend them. At the peak in 2007-2008, the adopted final budget was $180.8 million for discretionary revenue. We then experienced 4 straight years of decline, dropping over $40 million. Fortunately, it appears that things are leveling off, and for the first time in years, we're experiencing some very modest growth. This graph illustrates the drop I was just sharing with you and shows the amounts budgeted in each of the final budgets for the last 5 years. When I came to you in our mid-year financial report, we adjusted the discretionary revenue estimate for our current year to $145.5 million, so we're only projecting about $2 million year-over-year real growth. This table shows a comparison of this year's proposed budget estimates and discretionary revenue compared to the current year's adjusted budget. In the taxes category, secured property taxes are projected to be up 1.3% over last year's final budget, but relatively flat compared to our current year projections. The assessor is in the process of compiling the assessment roll and has not completed that process yet, so we won't know until later in this month how the actual assessment roll materialized. Property taxes continue to represent over 60% of our discretionary revenue budget, and we will probably not see any real strong discretionary revenue growth until we see real estate values improving. Sales and use tax, however, continue to rally, and we're projecting 12.5% growth in this category over last year's final budget. In the intergovernmental revenue category, this includes our half-cent public safety sales tax, and we're projecting a 9.8% increase in this category. The change in charges for services is related to an accounting adjustment for our cost allocation plan. In miscellaneous revenue, we received some one-time funding last year, and we don't anticipate receiving that this year, which is why you see a drop in that category. And finally, in other financing sources, we have a small increase in interest earnings from our 2006 tobacco securitization. In summary, discretionary revenue is still down $34 million from where it was at its peak. Total property taxes, the single largest revenue source, had declined over a four-year period by over 21%. And as I shared with you, we're seeing some gradual signs of improvement for sales and use taxes. We'd like now to share with you a few highlights in the proposed budget in each of our board priority areas. The first priority area is a safe community and consists of the departments shown on the screen. The total budget for a safe community is just under $157 million. You can see that the sheriff is the largest budget in this priority at $82.7 million, followed by the probation department at $31 million, and the district attorney at just under $14.6 million. This chart shows a year-over-year comparison of the total safe community budgets. You can see that the proposed budget is approximately $14 million higher than last year's final budget, primarily due to AB 109 public safety realignment that kicked in October of 2011. AB 109 realigned custodial and community supervision responsibility for non-serious, non-violent, and non-sex offenders, as well as supervision of lower-level adult parolees returning from state prison sentences to counties. Also, as part of last year's final budget, we weren't sure whether we would be receiving any CalMet grant funding, and so we waited until later in the year till we were confident of the receipt of those funds before we came to you in an agenda item. This year, we're more confident of the receipt of those funds and have included them in the proposed budget before you. With the programmed use of over $3 million in department net county cost savings, departments within the safe community are able to continue to provide service levels similar to those provided in the current year, as well as begin increasing staffing and operations costs to address the impacts of AB 109 public safety realignment. Also included in the proposed budget is recommendations for the reinstatement of the sheriff's sting team, which includes an additional sergeant and six new deputy positions. The proposed budget also recommends to add another sergeant position for patrol, as well as to add back the undersheriff position that was deleted in March of 2011. The sheriff is able to fund these positions through net county cost savings he was able to generate in prior years. Both the sheriff and probation chief continue to work on addressing detention and caseload increases due to the state's public safety realignment. These numbers have exceeded what were original projections provided by the state. And as I shared with you earlier, the Community Corrections Partnership Executive Team is in the process of finalizing the Phase 2 plan and budget, and we'll be back before you later this month. It's anticipated that AB 109 funding for the district attorney and public defender will be at roughly the same levels they received in the current year. At this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Patty Hill-Thomas, who will take you through the rest of our priority recommendations as well as some of our challenges.
Thank you, Stan. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Ms. Nina, Mr. Doring. The programs in the healthy community part of our organization serve the most needy. And as you know, and I believe the public is aware, that need continues to grow in our community. Nearly half of the total county budget is focused on the departments listed on the screen. Our Area Agency on Aging and Veteran Services, Behavioral Health and Recovery, Child Support, Community of Families Commission, Community Services Agency, and the Health Services Agency. And while these programs are heavily dependent on state and federal funding, the local cost exposure is significant to the general fund as the need in our community continues to grow. As you can see from this illustration, of that $954 million that Stan spoke about early, nearly half, $453 million, is allocated for these health and social service programs Nearly half of that is in the Community Services Agency. Pardon me, over half of that is in the Community Services Agency, with a significant level of aid in our community, 1 in 3 citizens receiving that. This illustration shows you that same 5-year comparison that we're showing you for all of the program areas. And while there is a net increase, primarily due to state and federal funding for the Community Service Agency programs, cost exposure for the IHSS provider wages, and a program in behavioral health and recovery services, the need continues to outstrip the state and federal funding, so you'll see in a moment, again, a need to allocate additional contingency funds for potential general fund costs of providing these programs. Again, in this whole area, the departments continue to focus on core and mandated services. There is funding recommended, consistent with your board's action this past February, to continue the integrity and fraud detection program for the in-home supportive services. While the state and federal funding is 89% of the total budget, you can see how significant the county match is, because in the budget allocation is $16.4 million in general funds to match these programs. We could talk all day about the needs in our communities. We summarize them here by talking again about the high rate of unemployment, hovering over 17%, and now 1 in 3 residents receiving some form of aid. This is up 4.4% over the prior year average, so we continue to see that kind of growth and demand on programs. The continued access to the county's clinic system is significant and important, but the improved revenues and performance of our clinic system is outstanding, and that's due in part not only to the Health Services Agency focus on that excellence, but the higher level of reimbursement associated with the federally qualified health care system. But we continue to have cost exposures for the medically indigent adult health care program, which is mandated under law to be 100% county obligation. Those clinic savings, again, in the 12-13 year will help us offset those increased costs, but those costs continue to rise dramatically. And as you're aware, and we'll talk more in a moment, there's been a significant increase this year in psychiatric hospitalizations. Several of the programs in this part of the budget are not fully funded, and we have identified a number of unmet needs. They include continued funding at the current wage and at a flat caseload for our in-home supportive services because of the loss of federal funding. $3.3 million in exposure in economic assistance due to the dramatic increase in foster care costs, and that $182,000 to continue that IHSS fraud and integrity detection program due to the state budget trigger. In our health services agency, $2.4 million is needed for our medically indigent adult program in net after counting savings from our clinic system. In our community services budget, which is very complex, in fact, in this large budget before you today, there are 38 single-spaced pages devoted to aid and social service program needs in our community. And to get it to 38 pages was a work of art, I think, by the department and our budget team. It is very complex, and essentially many things have changed. Despite the continuation of the bad economy and reduction in program revenues, there are increases for certain programs, particularly child welfare, from the state and federal government anticipated for 2013. But there are demands on the general fund for mandated costs relative to foster care. So essentially what you have before you in the proposed budget is a reallocation of the general fund match for the various social service programs to reflect the current level of funding. It's complex. We're happy to go through that detail with you. Because we have such significant unbudgeted exposure and such significant growth in the need for these programs, a few years ago, your board approved establishing a match contingency fund. And I'm sorry if this chart's a little hard to read on the screen. Essentially, it says that these exposures that we're speaking about, medically aged and adult, the in-home supportive services, our fraud detection program, and foster care, the most rapidly growing expense, we've recommended an increase in the county match budget contingency from $2.9 million to $7.5 million. I want to assure you that that $7.5 million does not fund all of the exposure we foresee in the 12-13 year. And we're recommending these funds again be budgeted in the contingency fund so that we can work through the year and the departments can work through the year to maximize state and federal revenues and minimize the general fund match obligations of these programs. In the current year, in that medically aged and adult program, the first line, you can see our net estimate at $2.45 million, we will continue to use savings from the clinic system. But at the rate of growth to serve the medically aged and adult, which again is a general fund obligation entirely, we will run out of those savings, we predict, in the next two fiscal years. And our general fund will continue to be troubled, really, by these exposures, which are not funded by the state or federal government. Not on this chart are significant issues that we foresee for the future, including our public guardian program, which continues to operate at a deficit. In other words, its expenses for its minimum program requirements exceed the program revenues, and our behavioral health and recovery services fund balance savings have been used for a number of years to shore up that mandated program, as well as the cost for psychiatric inpatient care and other programs in our community that ultimately we will do our best to protect the general fund from that exposure, but we may not be able to do that forever. In our programs of a strong local economy, we have two county departments, the Alliance WorkNet and the County Library. And as you can see from this chart, the Alliance WorkNet exceeds half of the amount of the total $23.3 million allocated for these programs. For the strong local economy, you see a pretty dramatic change over the five-year period, and it's down in the budget presented to you today by $1.4 million due to a decrease primarily in Workforce Investment Act funds. You considered an agenda item earlier today on that subject. In these program areas, our departments continue to focus on core and mandated services. The Workforce Investment Act funds for which the alignment collects and spends are down significantly from last year, reducing the number of vocational and on-the-job trainings and other occupational training programs in our community. In our strong local economy, the budget for the library reflects the current level of service, with 91% of the revenue coming from the voter-approved 1/8-cent sales tax. And as we all know, today is Election Day, where the voters in our community will consider renewing the current sales tax measure. In the programs in strong agricultural economy and heritage, we have two county departments, the Agricultural Commissioner and Cooperative Extension. This illustration shows you the total of the nearly $4.3 million allocated for these two programs, and the five-year comparison fairly flat over the same period of time. For 2013, this budget really reflects a reduction of some state and federal contracts with 16% less revenue for the Agricultural Commission. The Cooperative Extension budget remains at the current level of service with a reliance on prior year savings, but we do expect service level impacts in the 2013-14 fiscal year. In the programs for well-planned infrastructure system, environmental resources, parks and recreation, planning, community development, and public works, we see a large significant change, as Mr. Risen mentioned earlier. As you see of the total over $142 million allocated for these programs, the largest amount, nearly 75%, is for our county public works programs and services. You see this chart, a five-year chart, shows the single most dramatic change over the comparison period with that $142.5 million. As noted earlier, $48.5 million for two significant Public Works roads projects are included, as well as a decrease of $18 million due to the elimination of the County Redevelopment Agency. This results in a net increase of $31.3 million. Important to illustrate because the county's operating budget is not going up by this amount of money, but rather the funding for these two important road projects are included in our proposed budget. In this program area, the budget reflects, again, a continued focus on core and mandated services. It includes funding of $60,000 for the operation of the Regional Water Safety Training Center in Empire. However, we need to begin again community fundraising to support those operations after this year. The Planning Department is requesting and has coordinated with the City of Modesto a change to its operating hours to 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. This change, with your approval today, will be consistent with the operating hours of the City of Modesto here at 10th Street Place. In order to ensure that the public can be served who can't come during these hours, appointments will be available outside of these hours for citizens who can't make it during the time change. For the well-planned infrastructure, already mentioned a number of times, we have the net increase of $48.5 million for the Clarabelle Road widening and the State Route 99 at Kiernan Interchange projects. These projects, funded by regional transportation impact fees, state improvement program STIP fees, and Proposition 1B State Route 99 bonds. That increase and these funds are entirely funded by these sources, not impacting the county's general fund. In the program area of efficient delivery of public services, you see the list of all of the county departments that support the efficient delivery of public services. I would say all county departments support that, but these are particularly focused in this area. Of the $173.6 million in this program area, you can see that the county operations through the Chief Executive Office and our risk management self-insurance funds make up the bulk of these program areas. And you can see on the chart all the other component pieces from the clerk recorder, the county council, the general services agency, strategic business technology, the treasurer tax collector, the assessor, the auditor controller, the board of supervisors, and the chief executive office operating budget. The five-year comparison here shows you a little growth in the new year, a net increase of $7.9 million. Unfortunately, that's the amount we're increasing for the mandated match exposures that we spoke of earlier. We see a decrease also in vehicle license revenue funds. That match exposure is budgeted to only be used during the fiscal year by the Board of Supervisors when you see an exposure that can't be mitigated in the Healthy Aging and Healthy Services programs. This budget is important because we see an increase in our general liability self-insurance fund beginning with the coming year 12-13. That increase is $3.9 million, and we have $2 million in cash in the fund, resulting in a negative $1.7 million. That's a liability that we need to manage. So we plan and recommend to you today in the 2013 budget that we begin a multi-year plan to restore the retained earnings to the general liability fund. In this first year of a five-year plan, we're recommending that departments be charged $350,000 to restore and ensure that that general liability fund, which covers claims and legal exposures for the county, be fully funded in the county budget. The budget before you today recommends an increase in the clerk recorder's budget for the election costs that the clerk recorder and we expect to see in the November 2012 presidential election. Unfortunately, these budgets also include two reductions in force, one in the auditor controller's office, an account clerk two position due to workload changes, and one position of a confidential assistant three in the office of the county council needed to balance the department's budget for the coming year. The General Services Agency budget is beginning to charge out its costs to other divisions to more accurately reflect the cost of providing support services, and those recommendations are included in the budget. As it comes to Board of Supervisors compensation, as your board is aware, in the county ordinance, there is an annual review of the board's compensation pursuant to the code, to the Stanislaus County Code. That review is conducted, and those results are reported each year at the time of the proposed budget. As you're aware, the board's of the ordinance code provides for an automatic increase when certain salary thresholds are met. Your board in recent years has decided to use a more conservative comparison of smaller counties, and in those counties now used, no increase will occur or is recommended in the current year. Important to point out, that's because your Board of Supervisors has taken each one of the 5% salary deductions that other county employees have, and you plan to take the 6% salary deduction in the current year that most of our labor groups and management and confidential have agreed to. So as a result of those actions on your board's part to take those salary deductions, there is no change recommended in the compensation of the supervisors, but we have completed the required review consistent with the county's ordinance code. As I noted, there's $7.3 million recommended in the proposed budget for additional funding, an increase of $4.4 million for county match contingency to partially address those exposures we are concerned about, the $268,000 for the election supply of costs, and a little bit, $3,459 for the improved increased expenses for our 12th Street building maintenance. We also have some additional recommendations in this proposed budget that are very critical. Just like at home and in our businesses, we can't ignore the realities of our facilities. We, like many of us at home, have roofs and air conditioning systems and other maintenance that needs to be performed. During these last couple of years of significant budget decline, we've deferred a lot of those other than emergency repairs in our facilities. Our budget before you today includes $500,000 to begin to seriously address the Americans with Disability Act evaluation and assessment recently completed of existing county facilities and provide fundings for some immediate renovation where necessary. It is recommended an additional $500,000 for critical deferred maintenance of aging county facilities be included, and that we begin the fund by allocating a little over $1.4 million, a portion of the cost needed to replace the roof, heating, and air conditioning systems at probation and juvenile hall. These are general fund programs that have no other source of funding for these urgently needed repairs. That project alone is estimated to cost $4.1 million. We're allocating and asking you to approve partial funding today while we continue to look for the remainder of the funds needed to make those repairs. Our organization has over 2 million square feet of county facility space owned. Nearly half of it has been occupied since 1990. These accessibility and safety improvements continue to be a top priority because we're required to, and we need to meet those ADA and accessibility requirements. We have and prioritized a process to review, evaluate, and plan for those accessibility improvements, and we need to continue to make more than just emergency repairs on our aging facilities. I'm going to speak now to the staffing changes in the budget before you today. Regrettably, there are two reductions in force, as I mentioned earlier, and a position change from 3,729 positions at the third quarter to 3,736. This is the result of restoring unfunded positions of 3 and adding 9 new positions funded by not increased general fund. These reductions in force, with your consideration of the budget today, would include the deleting 1 filled account clerk position in the Office of the Auditor Controller due to technology changes reducing the position's workload, and one confidential assistant 3 position in the county council's office in order to balance the county council's budget for the current year. As you can see in this chart, illustrates the number of positions from the year 2008-09 through our recommended budget of 2012-2013. This is really significant because there has been a decline of over 6% and a decrease of 423 full-time positions during that period. But each budget report, we show you the following chart, which really shows the dramatic change in number of positions, which equates to the level of service the organization provides in the community. At this recommended budget today, there are 867 positions less in this organization serving this community than there were in the year 2006-2007. And while you see some modest growth between 11-12 and what we recommend for 12-13, that's the result of state, federal funding or using savings, not additional general fund impact for those staffing changes. So, I was trying to think this morning how I could describe the next part in a meaningful way, and I can only think about the real-life saga in California continues, because there is nothing but uncertainty and challenge in governmental budgeting, administration, and leadership these years. And while we started a few years ago talking about a multi-year strategy with your board's leadership and our organization's response, that multi-year has turned into several multi-year strategies to deal with what continues to be a fairly grim funding uncertainty for local government. The state continues to face massive structural budget deficits. The deficit has grown in our state from $7.2 billion, which was what was estimated by the state in January, to a staggering $15.7 billion now. The May revise for the governor has a number of program cuts in the current year for the legislature to consider as they adopt a new 12-13 budget, we hope, by July 1st, 2012. Those cuts have gone so far that they're actually now reducing the funding for child support services, which is a revenue producer for the state. And so those uncertainties and those challenges continue. I just take a moment and say that we do appreciate the leadership of the Board of Supervisors and the organization. This county continues to balance and rebalance its budget, sometimes every day, sometimes every week, certainly every quarter when they're in this boardroom. Your board, our organization, continues to make really tough decisions, but unfortunately the state budget remains unbalanced. And that uncertainty leaves a huge cloud over the budget plan we present to you today, and in part why we call it an interim spending plan. Any fix for California now seems to rely on the voters in November again. The state budget relies on the tax increase measures, estimated at $9 billion in new revenues for 12-13, which will be before the voters. And the governor has said without approval of the tax measure, an additional series of trigger cuts. I don't like that word, trigger cuts. An additional series of cuts, estimated today at $6 billion, would occur to close the budget gap. Stan spoke earlier about the challenges in the public safety realignment. They're everywhere. You approved an item earlier on your agenda about our plans to aggressively build additional jail facilities. The county has received $6.6 million in the first 9 months from public safety realignment. As you know, the community corrections plan is coming back to you in June with additional recommendations, but it is still unclear if that funding is adequate, and our concerns remain over the lack of the guarantee for the future. In our health and human service areas, we have seen a dramatic growth in our community in many areas, but particularly in the areas around mental health services. There has been this dramatic increase for some time now in the number of psychiatric hospitalizations. That funding provided through Medi-Cal and 1991 realignment, what was called the original realignment, is not sufficient to cover the cost. Because of those dramatic increases, your board has already acted, including an action you took earlier today on the consent calendar, to increase the budget using fund balance savings from mental health programs to cover these costs of hospitalization. We assure you that we are nearing the end of a very important strategic planning effort with our partners at Doctors Medical Center and Doctors Behavioral Health Center. We've had several meetings with all of the hospitals in the community, and we're looking at more of a continuum of care and what the community can do in response to this dramatic growth in mental health needs and services needed for our community. Our medically engineered adult program mandated to the county is underfunded, and there are no state and federal funds to offset that expense. Our potential $3.8 million estimate for increased enrollment, utilization, and patient liability is a solid number. Unfortunately, those expenses were incurred in the current year, and our clinic service savings will offset these costs for a while, but not much past the 12-13 fiscal year. And those over 207,000 patients, including the medically engineered adult, that reach into our clinic system each day are dependent on the level of care provided by the county government. Retirement continues to be a significant challenge for public agencies. While earnings have improved from significant losses back in 07 and 08, the Stansara Board is considering potential actuarial methodology changes, including discount rate and government accounting standards or GASB recommendations. Recently, our new retirement director or executive director was here in the boardroom and doing an excellent job of presenting those challenges to the retirement system. Redevelopment has changed dramatically in California, as your board is very personally aware. Our budget goes down, the one before you today, because of the loss of redevelopment. The successor agencies and oversight boards are in place. The recognized obligation payment schedules have been submitted to the state, and the outcome of the state reviews may have local implications, and there may be cleanup legislation. I know our auditor controller, our planning department and director, and all of our staff from the CEO's office and your board have worked very hard on the changes in redevelopment that are significant. And before I turn it back over to Stan and lose my voice, I just want to say that local government financing has become very complex, certainly over my career, and it's hard work. It's not for the faint of heart. I really want to recognize the board's leadership in always ensuring we have a balanced budget that's fiscally stable. The county department heads, the county employees who really do more with less, the CEO budget team who really is the best budget team, and just a moment to the CEO executive team, Monica, Stan, Jody, Nancy, and Keith, for never giving up and working together so hard. With that, it is my pleasure to turn this back to Mr. Risen to present the remainder of our recommendations.
Well, it feels like we're in nonstop budgeting, and so we'll just get done with proposed budget and have to shift gears and begin working on the final budget. That budget should be available to the public August 31st and bring back before you on September 11th. We will have closed our financial books by that time, and we'll also be, as part of the final budget, requesting that you approve net county cost carryover savings for departments, and we'll be asking departments to present to you how they anticipate using those funds so that you can exercise your discretion in those approvals. In addition to having hard copies available at all our library sites, our county budget is available on the county website, www.stancounty.com, and go to county budget. Our budget team is consistently looking for ways to improve the process and the document. We had a couple new changes to this year that I, for one, am very pleased with. They went out and benchmarked other counties and their documents and looked for the best of the best and tried to incorporate them. So now each department has what we call a budget at a glance, which is a summary of the entire department. showing their total expenses, revenue, what portion is funded by the discretionary dollars that you put forth, as well as their total staffing. In addition, this year, departments listed their key accomplishments for the current year, as well as their objectives for 12-13. As a budget team and as a county, we are committed to transparency and accountability. And recognizing years ago that we wanted to just reach the highest standards when it came to our budget document, we went after the Government Financing Officers Association Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. I don't remember how many years this makes, but it's like 9 or 10.
Nine.
And to be honest, being down resources, I told the budget team, because this award is for our 11-12 budget, I told the budget team, listen, if you don't want to go for it this year, this is about the journey, and we've come a long ways in our budget document, and it takes a lot of work and effort to go after this award. I said, we can pass on it this year. And the budget team said, no, we're willing to do the extra work. We want to go for it. And I'm extremely proud of them. This is on them, not on me, because I gave them the permission not to, and it was important to them that they still do it. And so I'm very proud of them for that fact. So we'd finally, and this is a long presentation, but it's a 600-page document, a lot to try to synthesize. But we're here to ask your approval of a number of recommendations that you accept the recommended proposed budget for 12-13 that's been presented by your chief executive officer, that you conduct the public hearing, and if necessary, continue it, that you make any changes that you deem appropriate, and then once you've made those changes, to adopt the recommended proposed budget, that you authorize the chief executive officer and auditor controller to make the necessary technical adjustments to implement the approved change, that you approve the modification of the operating hours of the planning department from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. On this next recommendation, I have given you a sheet that you should have in front of you. We noticed we had a wrong fiscal year for one of our contracts, between $50,000 and $100,000 in the Community Services Agency Solidarity. The original agenda item showed that as the 12-13 fiscal year. Actually, that $14,000 is needed for the current fiscal year, and so we would recommend that you approve this, the contracts and agreements listed on attachment B, recognizing this modification as presented, and authorize the GSA director and purchasing agent to sign any contracts over $100,000. And finally, you direct the chief executive officer to prepare the recommended final budget and set the public hearing consideration of that budget on September 11, 2012 at 9:05 a.m. That concludes our presentation, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Questions from the board staff?
I just have one question on the employees. Of the 160 positions or so that were up, do you know how many of them are general fund employees? I always hate to catch people off guard, but I was just thinking, because I know not a lot of it doesn't seem like we've been hiring in the positions that are funded by our discretionary dollars, essentially.
I'd have to look at our HR to answer that. I can tell you that we've had a number of positions in probation and sheriff related to public safety realignment. I think we've had over 30 positions out in CSA related to health and human services, which would be non-general fund.
Yeah.
But the AB 109 public safety realignment, I believe those positions are being hired into general fund budgets, and the funding is being transferred from the special revenue AB 109 realignment funds into their general fund budget. So I imagine those positions are in their general fund budgets. But that's a high level. Do you have?
I can reiterate that. The increase is primarily due. There's a couple that are outside of this. As Stan said, to the AB 109 public safety realignment, and then caseload growth in Stan Works and in child welfare, funded primarily by state and federal funds. That have occurred.
Yeah, I guess essentially of the 160 positions, state or federal funding is paying for the 90% plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's important for people to understand that we haven't, as you see the trend going upward, it's not that we're flush with money. It's right. That other people are paying for that.
Other questions? I do have one question, child welfare. I know how complex it is, but maybe just a simple question, and is that the donation we're requesting from our community partners, is that staying at the same percentage of drawdown?
Yes. I'll try to make it a really simple answer beyond that. There are additional state and federal child welfare dollars, but our general fund match needs to shift to the mandated cost of foster care. We will be with, along with the Community Services Agency, bringing your board a recommendation here in June to continue clean and sober programs with two providers, Valley Recovery Resources and Nirvana, all of whom will be bringing donations to draw down those allocations in the place of general fund dollars. And so we're very pleased that you'll see when the recommendations come forth that there'll be growth in the number of clean and sober programs and beds in our community as a result.
Wonderful.
I have a few questions here, if we could. First, you know, congratulations to you guys on this budget. This is, I mean, you look at this document, so like you say, 500-600 pages. This is just amazing the way you put this thing together and how good of a job you do. And Monica, congratulations on your first budget as CEO. Good stuff. I'm going to bug you with some various accounting things here that just hopefully you guys can help me with. And I'm looking at the big book here, at the budget. So if we start with, on page 14, which is kind of the overview of all the departments and the appropriations. And so, for the most part, you know, those are all, good summary, all real self-explanatory. A bunch of stuff ends up in the CEO's office. You know, we end up with a lot, about $84 million is in there. And then if we go from there to page 28, you can see where we start to try to break down all this stuff, and you can see more detail of the CEO's office right there. And the first thing, maybe for next year if we could, would be great. I know we have a table of, an index table here that refers to the pages where we can find stuff. It'd be great if we had a column right there that would have a page number, because we have the detail, I know, of each one of these numbers in this, 500-600 pages. If we could just have the page number where we could go to find the detail of, for example, we start with Chief Executive Office, Appropriations for Contingencies, $4.4 million. Page number there, you can go back and see what the $4.4 million is. So just that one first. I just want to
Yes.
So I'm going to go back to that. It's actually page 447. I've written the page numbers in here myself just so. So if we go back to see what the 4.42 is on page 447. So we talked about our contingencies, and in here we have the contingencies. So at different points, I know through your guys' presentation, we talked about $4 million contingency. What we're really looking at here is $11.9 million in contingencies, if I understand this right. If I look at what we have here on page 447 of $4.4 million here, and then I think if we go on to page 464, we've got contingencies there also of another So we really have almost $12 million of uncertainties here that we've set aside included in this budget. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of scary. Those are big numbers that we're having to deal with here. So I just wanted to make sure I pointed that out. Throughout your guys' presentation, we talked about the $4 million in contingencies, and we might even said seven, but I just think together we've got almost $12 million of bad things that could happen here.
And I would just add to that, the $4.4 million in the appropriation for contingencies, it's a level we've kept, and it's low, and it's primarily for unforeseen circumstances,
right,
and conditions. The 7.4 in the mandated match contingency, for the most part, we can see those exposures, and that is the scary part. You're correct, but it's likely that we will use some or all of that through the year. Hopefully, not more than that to meet our mandated match obligations.
Okay, good. A couple other things. Let me go to the county facilities. Chief Executive Office, County Facilities, and it actually shows a $2.39 million here, page 450, I think is the detail of that one. And this is, sorry, I'll give you guys a chance to look at this. So on page 450, it's County Facilities. And if we look, it looks like we're we talk about money that we're putting aside for repairs and things like that that we have to do, and $2.3 million here. I guess my question is, why isn't this public facility fee money? I know a while back, this is coming out of our general fund, and why can't we somehow have a nexus to public facility fees for this money instead of having to take it out of the general fund? I know a while back we bought books for the library and it came out of the public facility. So we tied that somehow to that. And I'm not sure why it has to come out of the general fund here instead.
Yeah, public facility fees can only be used for the impacts caused by new growth. So they can't be used for rehabilitation or repairing existing facilities.
Okay.
They couldn't be used for repairing existing books. But what, for example, when we buy new books or we expand facilities, anything that's a direct result or impact from growth, then there's a nexus that the people who caused this extra impact have to fund it.
Okay.
The funds that we set aside, as I mentioned earlier, with 2 million square feet of county-owned property, much of that is constructed prior to 1990. And so these repairs, for example, our additional jail facilities that we're constructing along with the state money, those are appropriate use of public facility fees because they respond to the growth and demand in the community. But money spent at the existing downtown jail is not allowed to use those funds, and they are a general fund expense.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to keep going here.
Sure.
If we look at, this would be on page 66, and it has to do with our county court funding. We have $6.5 million in there, and this is just if you look on that page, you can see we have down there under the appropriations or cost, we have $5.9 million in other charges. I guess, can you guys see that? Yeah, I'm just wondering, maybe we can get detail, of $5.9 million, what is that made up of? What is that going for? And that's not just in this one. There's other spots in here, the same thing, where we end up with just like a lump number, and other charges. And when we look at this to be able to know what that consists of, and I don't expect you guys to come up with it here and now. I know you weren't prepared for this stuff. But
what we can do in the future is we could summarize what these categories mean, like salaries and benefits, services and supplies, and other charges.
Right.
They're the accumulation of all of the appropriate expenses in that category.
Okay.
For
the most part, those other categories are pretty self-explanatory, but then just other charges, something that would be great. Just in your document here, just so we can kind of see as we're deciding on these things.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to know.
We can do that.
What the other charges here is going to make that. So since that's in a few spots through there. Sorry, I'm going to look at a few more spots here that I was looking at.
Supervisor, we can get back to you with the details in this particular case, but the majority of that is probably funding that is going to the state from revenues that we have collected, and they kind of pass through us.
Okay.
We have some, but we understand your bigger point is that when you see a big number like that, it'd be nice if the discussion kind of broke it out for you.
Right. That's all.
Yes. Well, certainly.
Okay. I'm going to keep going here. Sorry, just a few more. If we go to page 452, my favorite subject is Crow's Landing. We have a net county cost here of nothing, of zero on that. And but it looks like we're spending we have about $103,000 that we have down there for services and supplies that we're spending out there. I know part of that probably is deputies, probably the sheriffs. It's, I think, a sheriff's contract, maybe money we're spending out there. And it's pretty much, like I said, a break even, the rents that we get on that. But I'm just curious what we are spending that on for sure out there. If you look at the place out there, it's a mess. There's not a window left on any one of those buildings out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder.
Mr. Boggs.
We're looking for Keith.
It is primarily for the ag lease, along with the security.
Supervisors, CEO Nino, that nominal charge is a collection of different numbers. It is the security cost for sheriff services. It is an annual report from the Westside, the Regional Conservation, doing water analyses. It's nominal cap charges, because we are part of a larger whole. Approximately $103,000 a year.
Okay. 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 So again, I don't expect you guys to have these answers. It's just things that I'm looking at this before.
And some of that, I mean, these are good process improvements. It is described under the program discussion in this particular one, but we'll draw it underneath the actual chart so it's
more. Okay, I'm not trying to make more work for you guys, but just again, if we're passing these budgets, I just think it'd be good for us to have the detail of some of these things that run through here. Let me see if there's any more here that I was looking at. Okay, I think that's it for the most part. The last thing I wanted to just kind of bring. So thanks, guys. I mean, you're doing a great job. I don't want to, anyway, I'm just looking at, from an accountant standpoint, to look at numbers and to be able to have some detail behind these things that that I know you guys have and know, but just it'd be easier if, as we go through the book, some of these things right here would be great. The last thing is just, I just wanted to mention is in our, you know, in my world and in the CPA world, we deal with the actual numbers, the actual costs, and I know we deal a lot with budgets and stuff here. But if we go back and look at our general fund, and what I did was grab our audited financial statements from the last 4 or 5 years here, and just kind of looked at the general fund and what's happened here. And looking back, if you look back at, I think it was June 30th, 2008, was probably the height, at least in the last 5 years that I looked at. And we had a balanced in general fund, which is made up of a lot of different numbers, of about $123 million is what we had back at that point in our general fund. And now we're, with this proposed budget, we're looking at a general fund of down to about $78 million. And so so it's a 37% drop in our general fund, and which I've talked about before, basically is our savings account, and this is what we continue to go through, and you can see how dramatic it is, and there's not a whole lot more years that we can continue on at this pace. So, and that's just a comment to put out. Things are going to have to get better, or cuts are going to have to get dramatically even greater than what we've done here, and so. You know, I appreciate all the work and everything you guys have done to get us through where we've been. The quality of these numbers and the things you guys do on these budgets is unbelievable, especially when I compare to look at other agencies out there. It's amazing how good of a job you guys are doing on this stuff. But again, things are not good, and we've gone through a lot of money just to balance these budgets, and so. For what that's worth, I'm not sure how much longer we can continue and think unless things turn around. So I just want everybody to appreciate what we've done there.
We did prepare a chart in case it came up today, and so I think we will take a minute with your permission to kind of reinforce what Supervisor Whitford just said. I think it's 83. This is a slightly different number, Supervisor, than you mentioned, because we have taken out restricted and unspendable categories and just looked at those categories where the board may have some discretion in how it's spent.
Right. Mine was included everything.
And you're included everything. But this, I think, reinforces essentially the same message that you were sharing. As you can see, we had in the categories of committed, assigned, and unassigned. And I will point out, this also doesn't include the net county cost carryover savings that belong to departments, because we basically said that funding was for them for programs and services. So if you take out the restricted, the unspendable, and the net county cost carryover, that leaves the balances that you're seeing on this chart. And we're estimating it. And these are programmed. They're actuals for the first 3 years. They're programmed for the last three. Hopefully that's a worst-case scenario, that we create additional savings and that we never reach the lows that are on the chart. But as you have programmed, if departments were to spend all they're allowed to spend and revenue was just to come in at what it's budgeted, that is what would happen to your general fund balance savings by the end of 13-14.
Okay.
Great, sorry to put you guys through that, but just...
Why we're here.
Thank you.
Jim Martin?
Certainly, I appreciate an accountant's perspective on this board. Supervisor Withrow brings a very analytical view of the budget, which is, I find, kind of refreshing there. In Supervisor Withrow's remarks, he does talk about the exposures and problems that the county has, but they are significant. And I do appreciate the CEO staff. They've done a great job with the budget, and it's a very difficult job in what you're doing, trying to make ends meet. But the problem that the county faces are significant. The state budget faces a huge, massive budget deficit. And what they generally do when they get themselves into trouble is rip off the cities and the counties and unload unfunded mandates on local government. And where this realignment's going to go, I don't know. In the past, the state has partially funded a mandate, and then a few years later, just withdrawn the funding. And they've done that a number of times. So that's a huge exposure for us. We have retirement costs, in spite of the reforms, that's going to increase. Another huge exposure with in-home supportive services. Foster care, another unfunded mandate brought on by the federal government, which is going to impact our general fund. We've had utility costs went up, but there's nothing that we can do about liability insurance because of all the amount of lawsuits that we've been involved in, exposure to the Health Services Agency. And when you couple all this with the decline in property values, and one out of three people in this county getting some type of social services, and then add in the 17% unemployment rate, you can see that we're going to be climbing out of this very slowly and for a long period of time. I do appreciate the county staff into doing this detail on the budget, and we've had to cut what we've had to cut. We've eliminated almost 900 positions and cut salaries and benefits, and we have no choice but to do this because all these exposures that I've just mentioned are real. And we're going to have to deal with them. And we don't know exactly what all this is going to cost us, but I would suspect it's going to be significant for years to come. I just make one other point, in that at least in my opinion, that the agricultural industry in this county is what keeps the entire economy afloat. Without the strong agricultural economy that we have in this county there, I think we would completely collapse. And if you look at in the county budget, right up the front, it lists the 10 largest employers in the county. All 10 are agriculturally related. I just wanted to stress the importance of the ag industry and what it means to Stanislaus County. And it's important that in our policy, that we always try to maintain a healthy ag community, because there's a lot of people employed by this, generate a lot of products. Anyway, this summary, good job on the budget there. We've got a long ways to go before I can feel really comfortable about the next year. A lot of uncertainty with this budget. And I think what I can see is that I'm fine with it. I think this is the best we can do at this time. We'll take another look at it in September.
Any other questions?
Well, today I heard a smattering of good news, which is the first in the last 4 years. And I was just thinking through this about what a great job the budget team has done. It's year-round budgeting. It's budget all the time. We talk about it constantly. And so I appreciate what you guys have done. Department heads, I have to say, what an outstanding job. We've asked, you've responded to the point where we're actually going to maybe have a little sunlight with fund balance in this coming year. Our employees have been great to work with. We've seen a stabilization of property taxes, a little uptick in sales tax, and that's the smattering of good news I talk about. Then I went through it, and you've pretty much heard it. I think you'll hear it from everyone. We talk about the exposures, how we've, you know, our long-term maintenance on our facility. We've got a huge exposure there. We've set nothing aside, just trying to pay our bills. Stan, Sarah, Supervisor DeMartini mentioned we have to get to a lowering of the investment return. We know that will come with a consequence. We still have labor negotiations with four unions that are very important to the viability of the organization going forward. AB 109, I've heard our sheriff comment many times about a constitutional guarantee, and he is spot on. You know, going forward, we have some funding for last year and this year, but as they did the 12-13, the funding formula, we lost out again. And Stanislaus County, along with negative bailout, I always say that now with the funding formula, we had a real opportunity there, and it seems like we got the short end of the stick. I know probation violations are running higher than what we expected. The numbers are running higher than expected, so it remains to be seen if we have even enough funding under the current funding formula. Mandated exposures, foster care, and home supportive services, medically indigent, public guardian, general liability, they're all intentionally underfunded, and we have to keep remembering that going forward. We're not through this. We saw what our reserve looks like as we're eating through reserves. So we have to remain vigilant. I can't say it enough, but I will say, you know, there's that smattering of good news, and we have not had that in 4 years. So maybe in a couple of years. And I also want to thank one more time. I know I've done this before, but the former supervisors before all of us sitting up here, building up that fund balance, building up the reserve. So we have that now. So we have to remember when we not to expand too quickly, even when money comes in higher than expectation. We have to remember to save some of that. So great job to the budget team, as well as the department heads. And we thank our employees for their hard work. I know it's tough times for you and your families as we go forward with what we're asking, but you can see pretty much it's easier to understand going forward why we're asking. One other thing, I always like the general public to know, we have private sessions. We go over, have private budget sessions. I know I've had 3 hours myself, and sometimes it seems like we're not asking enough questions, and I want you to understand why that is, because we sit and go through this line by line, you know, an hour and a half, and so we have a lot of our questions answered before we get here. So I don't want people to think that we come in here and it's a rubber stamp budget. That's not the case. It is nice having an accountant. He thinks deeper than I do. But I want you to know that we care, our staff cares, and so I will be supporting the recommendations.
Supervisor Monteith?
Well, if I may, I'll just sum it up in the respect that this board will do what we have to do with all your help and the citizens' help. We will get through this. But we will do what we have to do, and thank you for your help.
This time I'll open the public hearing and ask if anybody wishes to comment on the proposed budget. Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the board. I have a few comments myself. First of all, I want to thank the department heads who have worked very hard throughout this budget crisis in keeping their departments afloat. I'm very impressed with what you've been able to accomplish. A huge thank you to our employees who've come to the table once again. Cuts in salaries and benefits is not an easy thing to do. It's not real fair, but in this economic time that we're in, we're seeing it again across all sectors of the economy. And a thank you to those bargaining units that come to the table. With the sales tax on the ballot in November, we are really in uncertain times. If that does not pass, if we don't see any constitutional guarantee on our realignment dollars, this whole budget gets reworked, and that is a scary, scary thing. As other supervisor says, the state balances their books on our backs, and we will see it once again. I want to thank CEO Nino, as well as her staff, for putting this budget together. I'm very happy to see the STEAM unit reinstated, so thank you, Sheriff. And that, any other comments? looking for action?
I'll make a motion to approve the budget.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Brings us to the end of our agenda. There's an announcement. Swearing-in ceremony for Chief Probation Officer Jill Silva this Friday, June 8, 2012, at 3 o'clock p.m. in these basement chambers, 1010 10th Street, Modesto, California. This meeting is adjourned.